Yeah, it looks like fall is just about here. We've got a new season in front of us, some opportunities for getting together and enjoying life in a new and refreshing way. And before it gets too cold, we can spend some time outside with a campfire or just walking in the woods. Anything with Mother Earth is a lovely experience. So, Nancy, we are so glad to have you back, and we missed you. And thank you for coming back to us. You here, Nancy? Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. I will just.
I'm here. I'm here.
Okay. All right. All right. Welcome.
Well, thank
Bye-bye.
You, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody. And
Yeah.
I thank you for blessing my aunt who passed away last week, and we went up to St. Louis, and I know we all felt the blessings of that because there was so much love there. It was palpable and wonderful, and so thank you.
Oh, it's wonderful when we get to celebrate the passing and elevation of someone so special. Well, I hope everybody's doing well this Sunday, and we look forward to a new opportunity of blessing you and offering blessings that will lift you up to a better state than you've been for a while and moving on down the road, because we can make this life excellent according to the will of God and our will in it. We can always be the best that we can be. We can't always fulfill dreams we formed as a young person because we didn't know what the world would offer. Life changes so much between starting point A and midpoint B that adaptation is a very important, quality of living. And faith is the fuel that gets us through the adaptation so that we can find what it really is we were brought here to do. Usually, most people don't find that until their middle years. And I think that really pretty much explains the old adage, life begins at 40. And then for many people, and most people it does. There are, in fact, some prodigies that are born as children, knowing exactly what their life would be, having the ability and talent to pursue it. Of course, one of the most famous examples is the great musician Mozart, who was born with that talent and had completed all of his major works by the age of 32. And there are many others. I could say I could make a list, but there's still less than 1% of the human race. So we know it's possible. You may be one of them, but likely you're someone, as are 99% of all humans, given the opportunity to just be a kid, and then to just grow up, then just to discover yourself in the world and make adjustments that add to your learning, your experience, your capacity for love, and your ability to observe around you what is most needed and wanted by others. And that in itself is a great gift. It brings us into a greater union with our fellow man, with a greater union with God. So, however the cards were dealt for you, let's just say you can make the most of it. You can do it. And I think I'd like to cap off my invocation for this with something that has been comforting to me through my many days of distress in the last 3 years. And that is, we don't get to pick our problems. We don't. I mean, let's face it. How many days do you wake up and you decide what problem you want to have that day? I mean, let's face it, we don't. We wake up and we see what we would like to do that day, what we might like to accomplish, who we'd like to share the day with, and it goes on and on, but rarely do we go out and pick a problem. We don't get to pick our problems, at least not the major ones. You know, I could say, in a sense, when I was a student and had a lot of study problems to tackle, I would choose which one I wanted to tackle that day. But I wasn't dished out what the problems were. That was something that was just part of where I was in life that day. But what we do get to do is choose how we handle our problems. That's where our free will comes in, our creativity comes in, our humanity comes in, our love, our decency, and our nature. How will I handle this problem? And I want to give you one other example that will illustrate another problem. Well, another facet of problem, shall we say. We don't always get to solve the problem. It may be we will have to ask the help of another person, or we may need to study and find out how someone else solved the problem. So don't get your self-esteem and your ego tied up in, well, I've got to solve it myself. I've got to solve it myself. This is really important to me, because you may not be able to solve it yourself. I know many times I can't. I certainly cannot repair a car. I can't repair a computer. Many times I can't even complete a complicated recipe without calling a friend to ask her, well, I thought I was doing the right thing. What did I miss? Okay. You know how it goes. You've been there too. And there are some problems you're not going to solve. You're just not going to, because the problem is a completion point of some kind, some way. I kept trying to solve the problem of how I would stay at my home in the South Coast. Well, it was my time to leave. And so there would be no way. People even gave me ideas. They said, Glenda, rent out the barn. Sell off this acre of land. I mean, they were coming up with all kinds of really good solutions that might work for someone else. But I wasn't meant to stay there. And so the problems were not going to be solved. Everything started working out like peaches and cream when I let go of needing to stay there. Then I got help on moving. I got help in finding my next best location. I got financial help, and it all worked out. So sometimes the problem comes up to tell us that we're done with that. We're out of that area. We're out of that. This job has closed down on us. And actually, I have to say, in my generation of enormous change in the workplace, in the job theater, the corporate expansion of businesses, a lot of businesses have just been bought out, taken over, or flushed out. And I can't tell you how many friends have lost their business because there's not enough customers left. Either Amazon took over, or certain products are not necessary anymore. One of them was a shoe repair shop that was in Aransas Pass. Aransas Pass was a cute, quaint little fishing town. And it was almost back in the 60s, you know, with the town square and shops around the square and other places where people did lots of old-fashioned things. And I loved that I could take my leather-soled shoes in and have them repaired. It was great. Well, by the time I was there a year or two, I noticed the shop disappeared. And I tried to find one in Corpus Christi, the nearest town. There were none there. And then I finally realized, there's no demand for this anymore. There are no leather-soled shoes anymore. Oh, my goodness. Because actually, I used to take my other leather goods there, like handbags and, you know, other things, and have them sew up. So it was a valuable little shop. I loved those shops. But when we started buying all these synthetic products from China, there was no need. for a leather shop. And so businesses have gone out of, they've changed. And we have to be adaptable with those changes. We've got to look for those changes and realize, well, either maybe I can't get the stun anymore. Maybe I'm not supposed to live here anymore. And one last one, which is going to sound very, very sad, but it turned out to be a wonderful blessing to everyone in the life of my very, very dear friend, who about 10 years ago received a diagnosis from his surgeon that his cancer was terminal. It was fourth stage terminal, and there was really nothing left to do because it would just tear up his body and make his last days miserable, even if they wasted their time trying to try. And so, of course, at first, he was very devastated. His wife was devastated. The children were so sad. All the friends. We didn't want to lose him. We didn't want to lose him. And we thought, well, let's pray for a miracle. We all got together. We had prayer group after prayer group. And after a week or so, he said, wait, guys, look, I'm going to take over now. And I'm going to tell you something. This is my time to go. This is my time to go. And so the way I want to treat it is I want to celebrate it. My prayer and what I want you to pray for me is that I have as close to a pain-free transition as possible, and that I have my friends around me, my family around me. I get to wrap up my business, my goals, that I get to say goodbye and I love you to everybody, and that we celebrate my elevation to a new level. And I have to tell you, my friends, the pain just literally went away. And he had giveaway parties where he would invite friends and relatives in, and he, instead of a will, he would just say, I'm giving you this. I'm giving you that. And, you know, it was like Christmas Day for his friends and family. They would come over and he had some wonderful things to give away because he was pretty well off and a fine, fine craftsman and electrician and had some gorgeous pieces. And we had our time with him. He had his giveaway party, and he left with a smile on his face, and he said, it's my time to go to heaven. So wish me well, and I'll watch for you and wait for you to create a welcoming party for you. So that's an example, a perfect example of we don't get to choose our problems. We get to choose how we handle them, okay? Mm-hmm. And we can try, and it's worth trying in order to come to a conclusion of what the best way through that problem is. So that's really my message today, because I think it helps us to focus our request for blessing in a very, very positive way, in a way that God will be joyful in assisting you. Just remember, you're always loved unconditionally. You're always, always loved. But you're not always helped to do something that's not the will of God. He doesn't allow he will actually allow your will to overtake his, as long as you're putting up the, you're putting out the effort, you're putting up the cash, you're taking all the risks. But he's not going to help you do something that's against his will. So if you're not getting certain kind of prayers answered, the first thing you might want to do is check your alignment with the will of God. What's really happening here? What's really needed here? And you're going to find that the help comes rolling in. And I don't mean small time. I mean big time. The help will come rolling in. You are unconditionally loved. It's just sometimes we can run into, shall we say, a logistic complication between our will and the will of God that makes it hard to get the blessings delivered, because that means he's got to go through a lot of people to persuade you and enlighten you on what the best thing is, before he can help you in it. I hope you get what I'm saying. And some of these feelings of being run around the barn, chased around the bush before you get what you want, are part of that complication and that dynamic. You get it straight with God, and you've got a home run. You really do. And so I'd like to take some calls, and let's focus upon aligning our will with the will of God to bring those blessings in on turbo wheels. Nancy, who's that?
I'm here. I just want to add a little brief thing because it's just remarkable to me, the perfect synchronicity. I my little reading this morning of this little prayer book that I read from, it talked about agendaless prayer, and it's exactly what you're talking about, like when you surrender and let go to just sort of be touched by divine grace, because it puts you in this receptive state to know that it's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And so it's very cool.
Absolutely.
when you're just in this state of grace where you're just like in gratitude, just loving God, loving whatever, and there's no agenda. And what you just said just was like, bam. So thank you. But we do
You're
have
welcome.
Some callers.
Well, you know, you can pray for revelation.
That's right.
God wants you to understand. Okay?
Absolutely.
So you can pray for revelation. You can pray for people to come and counsel you who are the right ones to help you understand what this problem is about, how you go through it, and what to do. So that's part of being creative in the solution.
Absolutely. Perfect. Well, we've got a caller here. Let's see, our first caller, Glenda. Caroline, you're on.
Oh, thank you,
Hello.
Nancy. I hope you are all doing well. I love you all. So I'm going to be asking for some blessings, two different kinds of blessings. The first one is I really would like a very strong blessing and support to go out to Sherry Tenpenny, who has been fighting for the truth and is facing, you know, I think they want to take her license away as a doctor. And I would like Jeshua to do his utmost to protect that wonderful lady and also everybody else who's fighting for the truth, all these doctors, some of whom are having to go anonymously to tell the truth, especially anybody based
exactly.
in California. So I really, those people need blessing. So that's the first one, Glenda.
Thank you.
Right? Mm-hmm. And then the second one is for two people who are facing cancer. Both of them got worse after having had the jab. One of them is David. He's dealing with prostate cancer that's got worse. But he's at least, looking okay and maybe he can get through it. The other one is a wonderful man from Maui Blue Mountain who has, He's in a very severe, very serious condition and not sure if he's going to make it. So if it would be wonderful if he could get through it, but otherwise may he have the very, very best and smoothest transition possible because he's helped so many people and he's a really good man. So it's for those two people, my dear friend David and a wonderful man called Blue Mountain who's seriously ill with cancer.
Okay. We've got them on our list and we love them. Let's send our love to both of these fine men. And let us send us our gratitude. Let's give our gratitude for their life. You know, I think we can add importance to the life of people with simple expressions of gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
And it means so much to them, not just to them, but their family. And I think I get a little twinkling feeling that God appreciates it when we appreciate our fellow man. You know, I think he likes that we're grateful, in all ways, in the way we receive benefits from each other and the way we offer our support and our help. I think it makes him happy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's great. Thank you so much, Glenda, and thank you also for the, you know, offering blessings for the protection of all these wonderful doctors who are having serious problems these days.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's, they're in my prayer every day because they're essential to us. They are essential to us. And, you know, the Hippocratic Oath used to be honored and respected, so that the number one purpose of a doctor was to heal, and to heal without agenda.
Right. First do no harm. First do no harm used to be the thing.
I've been following Sherry Tenpenny for years, Caroline, and she is a hero, and I'm glad you brought her up, so she'll get a big blessing today.
Great. She deserves it.
Great.
Thank you so much,
okay.
Linda. I love everything you do, and I'm very, very grateful. I'm very grateful to be part of this wonderful community. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We're grateful to you too.
Absolutely. Thank you, Carolyn. We have Tammy. Your line is open. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you. Can you hear me? Okay.
We can.
Okay.
Clear.
Okay, great. Thank you both so much for all that you do. And I want to ask for a blessing with these elections coming up, that they be free and fair, held safely by and for the people on a global scale, as we have people in Brazil in mass that have gathered and have concerns.
Amen. Yes, that's a big deal. We've got to have an open, clean, fair, and honest election. You've got to. The will of the people must be honored.
Right, and their God-given free will.
Absolutely.
In order for us to keep evolving, I think we have to be able to honor that and have that.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's easy to say, well, you know, I'm just one person. What's the difference one vote is going to make? What if 500,000 people said that?
Right. Right.
So don't say that. Go.
No. It's a big request, but God can handle it.
Okay. Right.
And I just have a neighbor that has health issues. She's got some sort of mysterious blood clot in her ankle, and the doctors can't seem to get to the bottom of it. She's being shuffled around doctor to doctor. And she has a history of cancer, and now her mate is diagnosed with COVID. So I'm praying for a blessing for them for better health.
Oh, my goodness. That's a complicated situation. Yes.
Yeah.
Lift all of the negative energy that has settled upon them. Lift it and lift them into the light.
Yeah, she's a dear. She's an absolute dear. Okay, and I'm looking to start some new work. I haven't been able to work for 3 years since COVID, and I'm just praying for a blessing that all that can be worked out smoothly and that I can get back to work.
Yes, that's important. Really, it is. It will make you feel better about everything and solve
yes.
all the problems.
Okay. Yes, it's coming together with blessings, and I'm grateful, and thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Just be blessed.
Thank you, Tammy.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Susan. Hi, Susan.
How are you? How is everybody?
Hey, Susan.
We're good.
Linda here. Doing great.
Tammy beat me to it. My first thing was praying for the election that the outcome would be what God would have it be. That was the very first, and she beat me to that. And the other is a friend of mine's boyfriend, his mother died suddenly, not sick, just suddenly. And so I just want to put a lot of light around. His name is Ken, and his mother was an angel, and her name was Marilyn. So I just want to put a lot of light around that. And the other thing is that I've got to go to the derm this Wednesday, and he was going to be deciding whether he would need to do a little surgery on my head or a scraping, and I'm still praying. To me, it looks better. I'm praying that, and I've been using the Copiaba twice a day, and I'm praying that all he needs to do is scrape on the top or on the scalp of my head. So that was the only thing that I'm asking for prayers for. And I'm glad, Nancy, you're back. And it's always good to be with the community.
It's good to have you, Susan.
Oh, yeah, it's good to be here.
Well, we love you. Glenda, are you there?
I'm here. Sure? Yes.
Okay. Good.
I didn't know if I pushed something.
Yeah.
Susan, you have my blessings always. And I do remember you in my prayer. I'm glad you're using Copaiba.
Oh, Copaiba.
I say Copaiba. If I was using the original language properly, it would be Copaiba. But.
Oh.
Copaiba.
Oh, okay. I am using it.
Mm-hmm, good. And
I tried to use the mer, but I couldn't tolerate it. I would go to sleep and it was in my nose and I couldn't tolerate the scent of it. But, the Copaiba. I couldn't deal with it. I felt like getting up in the middle of the night and washing my hair. It was like too much for me. But the other one is perfect, so I've been using that.
You know, your body will language. It have its own language, and it will tell you what it can and cannot use. And sometimes our body's just downright rude about it.
oh, absolutely. I got the message loud and clear. I went, okay.
mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Right.
Well, I'm glad you're using them and having good results.
Thanks.
And we look forward to hearing how it turns out because we know it's going to be good.
Right. I'm just praying all he needs to do is scrape
Sunday.
It.
Okay.
I will. Definitely will. I'm going Wednesday.
Thank you.
Thanks.
For telling
Thank
us.
You.
We Thank love you, you Susan.
Oh my God, how I love all of you. A whole lot.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thanks, and I will. I'm just chilling.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see who's here now. We have Sarah. Hi, Sarah.
Oh, hi, Nancy. Hi, Glenda. Aloha to this beloved community. This is Sarah sending love and gratitude to each and every heart. Thank you so much, Yeshua. And I want to ask for a special blessing for my beloved dad, Peter Sullivan. Just, he really needs help in his healing. He had a vaccine injury and, he's really struggling. And so, yep, just healing and love and compassion for him and for all who need it.
Absolutely.
So we've got his name on our lips and in our hearts.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's hard.
Yeah. Yep. But we do what we can. Let's keep going, helping everyone we can, and just keep giving it to God. But having the strength and the discernment to learn what we can do, and let's do our part. That's what I'm here to do.
Beautifully said.
Yeah. Oh, I love you so much, and love to this community.
We love you too, Sarah, and we always, we miss you when we don't hear from you. And,
yeah.
We hope you're off doing something that's just lovely.
Yes.
Bringing blessings to the world. And we each make a difference in how we bring blessings. You know.
Amen.
Sometimes, Amen. I've mentioned, well, more than a few times, don't pry into your problems. Pray into the solution to the problem or simply into the will of God and revelations about how to handle or resolve the problem, but don't actually pray into the problem because you give it power. Well, when we live that way, we also bring about blessings to life. Just think about, this next week, I just want you to think about, whenever a problem comes up, don't walk into the problem. Try to walk above the problem. It's still there. You're not ignoring it. You're not just ghosting the problem, thinking it will disappear. You know, if you've got a flat tire in your car, it's not going to heal itself. But you can get above the anguish that you're experiencing with that flat tire. Just relax. Share your predicament with somebody who can do something about it, and then get on to something else. You know, if you are subscribed, it's just a simple example. If you're subscribed to a car maintenance system with your dealer or AAA, just call them. Let them know. Make an appointment. And then go do something else. Don't keep anguishing into the problem. Just lift above the problem. That is the way you create a blessed life. And creating a blessed life activates more of the blessings you want. We, sometimes we get very focused on the particular blessing we want. We've got an annoyance at work. We want relief from that. We want it to go away. Or we've got a noisy neighbor. We want that to go away. And we get so focused upon the particularity that we want to solve that we forget, or we maybe don't even think about or realize, that living a blessed life completely consumes and dissolves the critical nature of particular issues that bother us. We change our perspective on those issues. And we start saying, oh, it's just a flat tire. It'll be out to fix it soon. I'll rearrange my schedule. Done. You're off to do something else.
And we feel connected to God. We don't feel separated when we're like that. You know?
Living a blessed life is the best way to bring blessings to the problems when they come up. My friends, problems will come up. And the fact that they do does not mean you're not loved. It does not mean God doesn't care. It just means you're alive. You're living. And you're living on the earth, in the world. And there are problems that we cannot exempt ourselves from and still be part of it. I've spoken many times on the phrase that we love and repeat from a viewpoint of faith and confidence. When Yeshua said, I'm in the world, but not of the world. And we take that as being specially relevant to him. Because we know he was born in a very special way, not through the generational evolution that bring us through the worldly history of our family. He came directly from the heavenly palace into the womb of Mary. He lived a very blessed and special childhood that was more than just not being of the world. He went to the temple and preached to the priest as a child. Okay. So it's easy for us to see that applied to him. All right. But I want you to see that it applies to you also. You are in the world, but you're not of the world. Now, with what degree of confidence and biblical confirmation can I say that? Well, it takes you to the book of Genesis on the sixth day. The world didn't exist yet when we were created. And it says we were created in the image of God, which means we were not created from legacy of living in the world. We were not created as a result of family, parental, historical legacy. And that's even true today. That wasn't just then. Every child is created in the image of God at its conception. At its conception. Now, as it grows in the womb, I would imagine from a few memories I've connected, it can have a few frustrations in the room, like, gee, does it have to be so crowded in here? Or, Mom, would you be quiet? Turn the music down. You know, something like that. There can be, we can actually start to have attitudes and a little bit of frustration, a little bit of issue in the womb. But nevertheless, when we're born, we are that little innocent angel that just landed on earth, being held in our mother's arm, looking in her face and she in ours, and it's just perfection on earth. This child is not in the world yet. Look into their eyes. They're not even focused. They're way beyond the world. They're like little laser beams, probably looking up toward the Pleiades. They're not totally even here. So think about the various forms of evidence that you have in your own experience and what we know, which is biblical. You are not of the world. You're not. But you are in the world. That means the problems you encounter are problems of the world. They're not problems of you. They're problems in the world that you stumbled onto, you acquired by things you're doing in the world. How you deal with those problems can be out of this world. How you pray into solutions can be for a place out of this world. How you honor your ability to make choices about these problems and what you'll do with them can be beyond and out of this world. Because that statement doesn't just apply to Yeshua. He came here, his whole life came here to let us know that we are not of the world. And it was necessary at that time because for thousands of years we had become immersed in the world. One nation had been conquered by another. Some nations had been enslaved by others. A lot of people were on the edge of starvation. People were pre-literate. I won't say illiterate because they were just simply pre-literate. So many, in many tribes, there were no languages other than those that were spoken. And those were a very minimal vocabulary, very minimal intonement. So we had immersed ourselves into the world for thousands of years, and we needed a reminder of who we are, a reminder of the fact that we are not of the world. Step outside the world for a few minutes, no matter what. Even on a beautiful day where it's easy to believe that the world gave us that blessing, step outside the world and look at where the blessing really came from. Okay? When it's really bad, step outside that situation to look for answers from another place. And this isn't just spirituality or theory, religion, mysticism. Albert Einstein said, you will never find the answer to a problem inside the problem or on the level it was created. Never. He said, you must look above the problem to find the answer. And he did not say that
as a philosopher. He said that as a scientist, as a mathematician. Okay? Mm-hmm. So we do need to be reminded of that. And Yeshua came here to remind us of that. And he said about himself what was perfectly true, but then went on to apply it to all of us.
And
no
one
is better than us. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say regarding problems, I just remember what Yeshua said in Love Without End about, like, no one, I'm sure a lot of us remember reading this, no one's above sin, and he was referring to the adamantine particles and how he exchanged them, saying everyone takes on some aspect, he said, of this bitter legacy, but our opportunity is to, you know, transmute it with love. And that's always been incredibly helpful. It's like, oh, well, that may have come to me because I'm sharing part of this, so now I have to transmute it. And not always easy, but, you know, he said, nobody's above it. We're in this together, you know.
We are. We are, and we have accumulated it together. And the solution is love. The solvent is love. Love, you can be assured, is not of the world. It's not. Sometimes in the world, we find a little bit of fake goodwill, but it's usually because somebody wants to sell us a product. Everybody's supposed to be laughing on that. Somebody wants us to do what they want us to do, and so they'll be exuding a lot of affection, and they want us to try this, try that. Well, reach for love, and let love confirm that this really is what you need to be doing. And we sometimes mistake well-meaning, well-constructed offerings of the world as being the solution when they're really, really not. And always, my solution is love. I've learned after a number of years from my conversation with Yeshua not to ever argue with that principle. Sometimes I don't see the gratification of it instantly. And you know, we do like instant gratification. Sometimes it doesn't come instantly. You stick with it, it will be there. It will be there. Because love can solve anything. Because it's at the highest level of creation.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful, Gwenda. Wow. Thank you. Before I open another call, I would like to just offer a request for blessing for my sister Kelly, my sister Cindy, and my sister Missy, and all their families. And I don't need to get into detail. I know Yeshua knows what they need, but I just wanted to add them to the blessing.
Very good, and I'm sure he knows what they need. That's great.
Yes.
Got them. They're on my list, and much love to them right now.
Thank you. And thank you, Sarah.
That was
thank
so
you
sweet,
so
Sarah.
Much. Oh, love you so much. Thank you.
I love you. So now we have Tara Kim. Welcome. Your line is open.
Oh, thank you. Hello, everyone. Yes, thank you so much. I really appreciate what was said earlier regarding alignment and revelation in relation to everything. I've got to go back and absorb that some more. I think it applies to what we're dealing with right now. And today I'd just like to request a blessing for my mom again and my husband, myself, and as we're trying to figure out paths forward, a lot of challenges since my mom was sick and figuring out with long distance how to try to make everything come together and the fact that there's so much things that we, of my dad's still there that are really kind of keeping her locked in place right now, where we're trying to figure out where she needs to be as well. So just a lot of unsureness on the path forward and kind of getting stuck in analysis, I think, sometimes, and not necessarily maybe being in alignment.
That's great. And it will help. It will help too. And I know a lot of people are facing that. And, you know, we all will come to the place where I think it's great
that we get to decide when it's time for us to go. And I don't mean that in a suicidal way. I mean in a celebration way. Like, wow, you know, my time is right around the corner. Let's celebrate. It's been a great life. I love you all. And I look forward to being with you forever. But I got to make a transition. So here's how we're going to do it. It really helps. And one thing I would like to say as sort of as a way of putting brackets or a parentheses around a life. You know, when we're expecting a new baby, we're expecting everything in life to change. You know, it just does because that baby is on call every hour of the day until it starts sleeping more than 1 hour at a time. And we have to change rooms around. We've got to get furniture. We've got to get supplies. We all know what we have to get. It's about making room for baby. It's a new entry into our life. Well, there will be, we pray that we'll get to actually enjoy an end of cycle for our lives. You know, it would be nice that it doesn't happen in a fatal accident or a sudden painful heart attack. It would be nice that we actually get to celebrate the end. But it can require adjustments on the part of the family, planning, getting ready. And I think this all starts with acknowledging that the end can be as beautiful as the beginning. It's part of life. And if we allow the end to be as beautiful as the beginning, just think how well, we're setting ourselves up for a new place to go, a new way to be on higher ground. I want to treat my ending as a graduation ceremony. I can't wait to pass on my easel to a really gifted artist that I think will do great and splendid work, in their life. You know, I've already thinking about things like that, and I think it's going to be fabulous.
Yeah.
Tarkin, your mom, your dad, and your dog are always in our prayers. So.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay.
Your family is our family, and we love you. Okay.
Thanks. You guys too. Thank you.
Stephen, we have your line open now.
Hi, Glenda and Nancy.
Hello.
It's Stephen. Sorry?
I said, is Wendy there with you?
Oh, no. She's actually in Vancouver, like, completely.
Okay.
You know, whatever, 2,000 miles west of here. She's visiting your sister.
Okay. Got it.
But, you know, she's having a great time.
Oh, I only ask because it's usually Wendy that calls. So
I know,
it's good to
I know.
Hear you. It's good to hear from you finally. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. I have a strange request. I don't know what you think, but I was at a Remembrance Day service today, and I was remembering all the people, especially young men that had died in their 20s, you know, believing in whatever they believed in. including like I had great uncles and stuff like that. And I wanted a blessing for like all those young people that died. And, you know, they had very heartfelt ideals and like, is it unresolved or is it resolved or, you know,
I can give you my opinion on that. And my opinion on that is that when we get above, truly, completely above the world, nothing in the world matters. Nothing. And even the ideals we had in the world are nothing compared to the new ideals we embrace being on a higher plane. So I do not believe that death is a failure. It can be painful, it can be sudden, and it can be seem like a failure to those who are left behind. We don't get to see the other side. So we interpret death by what we experience being left behind on this side. When my mother passed away, I'm sure I was sadder than she was. She was probably laughing, running around in the gardens of heaven, and couldn't even bother remembering me. Of course she did later, but you know, my gosh, you know, Larry passed away a little over a year ago. I didn't hear from him or sense anything from him for months. It took him months to have a motivation to come back and say, "How you doing, kid?" Well, I haven't had it too easy. I hope you've had it. It's always great up here. So,
I guess I'm just thinking about, like, they were so young, and I don't know. It's like it's such a...
Only their bodies were young. They are eternal. Mm-hmm. And they return to their eternalness on passing.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you what it's like to go there right now because I've been there before, but you lose your memory of it when you incarnate. You take on the images of the world, the goals of the world, the explanations the world gives you about what's most important, your priorities, about what would be ideal for you to do in your life. And pretty much, our life is programmed by the world.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't be born today in the world and say, "Oh, I think I want to be a horse and buggy manufacturer." Well, where are you going to find anyone to buy one? You know, the world creates your future according to its requirements and its demands. And we may think, "Oh, what we want to do is to help clean up the environment. That's what we want to do." If our life is taken too soon with those left behind, think, "Oh, what a great service he could have done. He must be so devastated that he didn't get to do it." Well, he's up at a level where he's saying, "Oh, the earth can take care of herself. This was just an agenda we put on ourselves to make ourselves feel really important." Yeah. And sometimes that's all it is. You cannot know what they're feeling. You cannot know. But let's take one example from Scripture. Yeshua is dying on the cross beside a thief. Okay. The thief actually recognizes Yeshua for being the holy person that he is. And Yeshua said, "You will be with me today in paradise."
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, that thief is going to paradise. How do you think he's going to feel in paradise? Do you think he's going to be worried about not having completed his goals on earth? I don't think so. He's probably going to be walking around paradise hoping that his family gets there soon to be with him. We don't carry the troubles of the world up to paradise, my friends. We don't. When someone leaves us that we highly respect and believe in, we've lost a teammate. And the trouble befalls us. We've lost a teammate, and it hurts. And we project how we would feel if we, inside this world, had a failure of that magnitude.
we would be devastated. But they're not devastated because they're no longer in the world. They're not in the world. I think it's going to take a lot of repeating of this, that you're really not in the world, because God didn't create the world. Mankind created the world. And we created a lot of importance in the world and self-importance in the world. We created a lot of competition. We created a lot of priorities that are, by and large, our priorities. You know, God didn't really care who ruled the Roman Empire because he didn't care about the Roman Empire. It's like Yeshua said when he was asked about taxes, he said, well, given to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and given to God what belongs to God. He just didn't even put the two in the same sentence. God doesn't care about Caesar's taxes, really, because he didn't create the world. Humanity created the world. Think of it like this, a sorority, a fraternity, and we elect presidents, and we think the president of the sorority is the big man on campus. God doesn't care who the big man on campus is. What he cares about is who is the most worthy human being to create fellowship and brotherhood in the world and love among humanity. He doesn't care about big man on campus. That's of the world. So if you want to stay immersed in the world, that's your choice. And you do have a choice. But that's where most of the heartache comes in, because we try to accomplish something in the world. And then, you know, as a matter of fact, I'll give you this example. There's a very high percentage of young men and women who achieve the Olympic gold medal and go into periods of deep depression afterwards. Why? You should think, we would think, you've accomplished something that no one else your age could do at this point in time. You should be on top of the world. Well, the fact is, there is no on top of the world. You get up there and there's nothing there. The same happens with celebrities all the time. They win an Academy Award. They get the highest award in a movie. And then they become an alcoholic. Why? Because it was just an award in the world. Just an award in the world. And there's no meaning to awards in the world. When you learn also there's no meaning to failures in the world, you'll pull out of those failures real fast. And that actually accounts for why some people have had a rebirth of their destiny when they actually failed in the world. One person I think a lot of you will be familiar with, and that is Neil Donald Walsh, author of Conversations with God. Well, he had been up and down, but primarily up in accomplishments of the world, and then he went through a series of just complete devastating failures down to living on a park bench. I mean, they were serious, serious failures. And he was about to give up when all of a sudden God came to him. And he said, son, how about let's having a talk? And Neil discovered there's something above this world. And he became so enrolled in the idea of spending his days communicating with God, that he wrote it down, and eventually it became a book. Okay, I can give you a similar story from my personal history, and that is the way Yeshua came to me. I wasn't living on a park bench. Actually, I was not really particularly happy with what I was doing at that point in time, not feeling on top of the world, but, you know, a little bit depressed, a little bit disoriented, wondering what to do next. And I finally just surrendered to the inspirations that had come to me. It came, blew me away. And I thought, okay, I'm going to do this. This is what I'm being called to do.
And then I, of course, I got everything ready, and I was prepared and feeling really uplifted by the opportunity. And so it came to me every day when I was painting him. And during that time, we had our conversations. It took me a long time to really get what was happening, what was going on. I thought he was coming to me. I thought he was coming to me. He was bringing me to him. He literally lifted me up to a higher level. I finally decoded this when I looked at the evidence. Every day, at the end of the workday, oil paint would be dry. In this climate, if you use fine oil paint, no thinners, no dryers, I would never have used those on a fine painting because it can really shorten the life of the paint. Just linseed oil, pretty thick oil, takes 3 days to dry. And that's one of the reasons oil painting is a slower medium than watercolor, because watercolor dries within minutes, or at least within hours. Oil paint takes 3 days to dry. Everything I needed was provided, like a miracle. It was all there. And it would show up, and I didn't know where it came from. And I finally figured it out. Because at the end of the day, it would feel like I stepped down from a high banister or a pedestal or a theater stage. I dropped down to another level to join with my husband, make dinner, have dinner, sit down, and just have ordinary life. And then I would step up to a higher level the next day, and it finally all made sense. And that is that he took me out of this world in order to paint the painting. So the painting was not painted in this world. It was painted out of this world. I think that's what accounts for the holographic nature of the painting that even translates into the prints. I think it's why the painting could not be injured by anything from this world, not by a mechanical light that fell into it, you know, with the it was an overhead light, and it had a metal covering on it. Couldn't enter it. It healed because the painting was not created in this world. I think this is why we can have spontaneous healings. You were not created in this world. And it's going to take a lot of repeating this, because all of us, myself included, were very, very ingrained into the world. And I have learned to pull myself out of it a little bit, because since I have been through 3 years of stress, I don't feel much like driving in high traffic. When I get started, I don't feel like it's really safe. But what I do when I get on the highway is I take myself to a place above the world. And it's fine. It's like I've got a cocoon around me, and it's a cocoon of light. And I've had passengers to say, "Did you turn the headlight on?" And I said, "No, I didn't." "Well, it just lit up in here. I can't figure out what's going on." I said, "Don't worry about it. It's just me doing my thing." And I get there safely. Traffic avoids me. Every time I need to go out, like to pull out from a ramp into a lane, the lane clears up and there's plenty of room for me to get into the lane. It's really amazing how perfectly things exist out of this world. And I learned to really appreciate sometimes the urban phrase that the young people use when they'll say, when they really like something, they'll say, "Oh man, this is out of the world. This is out of this world. Just out of this world." And I go, "Amen." Mm-hmm. You know, because I know what they're referring to. So get used to out of this world. I would definitely recommend that for everybody, because the more you are out of this world, the more you are the blessing to everyone. The more your blessings are taken into care of heavenly realms without ever spotting them or having to give them a lot of attention. we're still going to notice a toothache. Yes, for sure. We're still going to notice a low balance in the bank account. But when we live above this world, we're going to find remedies come in that we never even thought to ask for, because being above this world is one little step toward paradise, one little step toward paradise. And I guess that's about what I need to say today, but I hope that helps you, Stephen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. Thank you. Yeah.
That was perfect. Oh, my gosh.
Thanks. Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well, that wraps us up, Glenda.
I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you, Nancy.
That's our last caller, so it's perfect timing.
Oh, perfect timing. Oh, my gosh. Can you believe it? We actually ended on time today. Wow. Okay. Well, let's just go to... All right. Well, don't mute yourself to heaven. Open that. Just cut out the world. Okay? Let's relax. Let's get that to that comfy spot in our chair, our recliner, our bed, or wherever we're just laying down and opening ourselves to life. Maybe it's on a yoga mat. You choose. You get to choose where your blessings come to you and how you receive them. Wherever you're the most open, the most relaxed, and the least engaged by cares of the world, this is where we want you to be. Take a deep, deep breath. Hold it for a few seconds. And then just release it like a gust of wind. Blow out all of the toxic thoughts, the toxic particles, whatever you were holding on to. Now, I'd like you to start shaking out your hands, your arm, moving your neck, your other hand, arm, moving up your shoulders, and wiggle your shoulders. Move them up and down, back and forth. Turn your neck from side to side, your chin up and back, so that you're flowing energy in your body. We want it to start with your own flexibility. During the blessing, you're going to be flowing a lot of energy. And you may not feel it in the normal sense, because it's a very high frequency energy that encounters almost no resistance, which means there's not much to feel, but it's there. It's there, and just let it be. So, if you want to, sometimes I get up and I walk around before I settle in my chair, because that's the best way to move your back, to turn your back from side to side and bend over a little bit and bend back, and you're getting your whole body into gentle, graceful movement. Then you return to your chair, if you can. Now, not everybody can do this. These are just suggestions. Do what you can to get everything flowing. And now we're going to just return to our simplicity, where we're not thinking about anything in the world. We're just being. We're being the soul, present on earth as we are. And we're going to go to the next step, which is our four square breath. And we called it four square breath because we make a little square out of our breathing, and we call it four because we're going to count to four on every segment of this square. But it's going to be your four. We all move at different speeds on our breathing. And I don't like to have someone speed me up or restrain me. I like to breathe in a way that's really natural for me. So, the first breath that we're going to do to the count of four is an out breath, where we're going to give the breath of life into the world. Just give your breath into the world, into life, to the count of four. And pause to the count of four to allow it to be received. See, not everybody, everything is ready for your gift. That will say, oh, let me receive. Thank you. Now, we're going to inhale the breath of life to the count of four. And then we're going to hold to the count of four so that we can take that breath into our whole body, heart and soul. Let's do it again. A few more times. I will begin with my invocation to Yeshua. We call him forth because he says to ask. Asking is a great expression of appreciation and an expression of importance to the one from whom we ask. Dear Yeshua, brother to us all, Son of God, who came, who lived among us, laughed and cried among us, and endured incalculable pain for our benefit, for our glory, for our redemption. We thank you for all you've given us, most of all, understanding of who we are and a restoration of our relationship to our heavenly source, our heavenly Father. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, who is always with us for communion, for blessing, for revelations and information, for guidance, and for all things we need to know in order to make the best choices in life. We thank you for this beautiful community that we join every Sunday, and even more so for the extended community, knowing that each person has their own family, their own circle of friends, circle of workers, community of their own, that they extend into by being their own state of blessing. Even when we might not be able to talk about blessings to others, we can be a light into the world, which you commanded us to be, to take the basket off our head, and let our light shine, that we may bring illumination, love, knowledge, and understanding to others. And that they may see that the glory in you is the glory of God. We ask that these lights shine around the world to give hope to those who so desperately need it, to give food to the hungry, to give greater wellness to those who are sick or invalid or suffering any manner of worldly illness. We ask that you help our faith be strong, that you come and confirm our faith and affirm
our desire to be more faithful. We ask for a shower of faith upon this world, that we may live our conscience, that we may live the best life we're possible to live. We ask your blessing upon our national election on Tuesday, that our hearts may be open, our minds may be clear, our conscience may be strong, that we vote knowing that every vote counts, and that we are making a choice for the betterment of our nation. We ask that you reveal the will of God to us in such things, such matters, and in all other things, that we may adjust our will to the will of God, that our will may be perfected, and the blessings of God may flow from heaven to earth for the betterment of earth. We ask all of these things in your blessed and glorious name. Amen. Now I ask the blessing givers to join me, and together we will convey the energy of the Holy Spirit, the love of Christ, and the glory of God to all who seek, even if they don't know to ask, to all in this world who are seeking blessings. We ask to be a provider of the grace of God. Be here with me now, and let us begin. Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. Now, go and rest at least 7 minutes. And let nothing cross your mind. Your mind does not have the answers. You want this to go directly to your body and your soul, which will recognize the blessings and receive them. Give yourself time in that state of peace, and it's okay if you fall asleep. I look forward to being with you again next week, and wish you a very blessed week. Bye-bye for now.